desire. It takes your mind again. Exile.
In Favell Parrott's latest novel, there are two sisters living in two cities, each with a grandchild, but living in two very different worlds. It's a story set in Melbourne and Prague in 1938, in 1968, and it goes to 1980 and back again. And it's based in part on Favell's grandmother's story. The book is There Was Still Love. Favell Parrott joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
This novel is based in part on your family's story. Tell me about the two sisters, your grandmother and your great aunt. Where were they from?
They were born in Prague and they were separated at about 16, just before World War II. The reason I don't know, and I'll probably never know, and I had to make it up in this book, what is real in this book is my memories of this flat and my grandparents and how my grandma never left Prague. Prague was alive in her flat. I knew that city from the day I was born. It's in my cells. And when I finally went there, I knew the way. I knew everything.
And so what was the process then for writing their story with so many unknowns?
It was difficult, but it was a passion piece. It was a heart piece. I felt like my grandparents were with me the whole time and my great aunt. Having to make up their stories broke my heart because I wished so much that I just could have an hour with them and just ask them about their lives. They were people that never talked about themselves and I never asked. I was a child. I was selfish.
You don't know.
Exactly. And I never imagined they had a life before me. And then you get older and you're like, what were they like when they were young? When did their heart first break? How did my grandma and grandpa meet? I'll never know. These stories are dust now, but it was lovely being with them. And I feel like even though I made it up, maybe I got some of the emotional truth right because of that intensity and because they were with me the whole time. It was a really beautiful process. And now when I read the book, I feel like it's true, which is so funny. It happens to writers. It's like dreams. You go, did that happen? Was that real? Or did I make it up?
It's your
probably
own truth.
A bit of both.
And the story opens with a suitcase. Tell me about the significance of the suitcase.
There's suitcases throughout this novel. The first page I wrote last, which is typical me. I write out of order. I don't know the story. But the suitcase came to represent, people that are forced to leave home and all they can take is a small amount of possessions and they hold on to those possessions with everything they got. Like my grandma held on to her golden garnet earrings, like she held on to her accent because it was home. It was stubborn. It would never leave her. So these small things treasured that become to represent home and nostalgia.
You're right. You must become a little suitcase and try not to think about home.
Yeah. I also think if you think about World War II, the suitcase, the little brown suitcase represents so much.
It's a very vivid image of that time, isn't it?
Yeah.
For so many different people as refugees or as what was left after people were murdered.
Absolutely.
So this is a book told in mirroring narratives. There's a lot of mirroring going on with the twins, your grandmother who you make a twin with, your great aunt, and the stories of the grandchildren in Prague and Melbourne in 1980. By taking that children's perspective, does it allow you to be inventive and embrace the gaps? Because children are always left out of the story, aren't they? They don't know the full story.
Absolutely. It's perfect for that. One, because it's my memory of this time. I could be that little person again looking up at my giant grandma holding up the sky for me. But children can feel all the energies that are going on. They know that something's happening. People are stressed, they're frightened, they're sad, but they don't know all the details. And that's so interesting. They're picking up on more than we know. And writing this book, I realised there were things that I didn't fully understand as a child that now makes sense, like when my auntie was going to defect. And this really happened. It's in the book. But I was young and I didn't understand what was happening between these adults, this stress, this tension, these conversations on the phone. Now, of course, my cousin filled me in. It all makes sense. on some level I did understand what was happening, but it was more unconsciously.
Mm. And on the cover of the book is a fox, a red fox, and the character, the Melbourne character, grandchild, is little fox Myla Liska. Who's that?
Well, that's me. Although my grandparents didn't call me that. They called me Bloodnut, which isn't as romantic as Myla Liska. But my cousin and I came up with this. He's like, this is a good nickname for a little redhead.
Which you are.
Yes, I am.
And I'm not sure how to say the name, Ludek?
Ludek.
Ludek lives with his grandma in Prague, and I really liked Ludek.
Me too.
He loves to run. He's clear in what he does and doesn't like. That's wonderful. He loves dogs, doesn't like cats.
Yes.
But there's this absence from his world, his
yes.
mother.
There is. He runs and runs and is full of life. Underneath is this very deep sadness because his mother is away for 11 months of the year, travelling with a theatre called the Blacklight Theatre of Prague, a real theatre. And he misses her desperately, although he's completely happy with his grandma, his babichka, his bubby.
There was still love.
Yes, there's still love. This woman is his whole world, and the bond between them, it's for life. It's a beautiful thing.
And because his mother is travelling, that puts other strains on the family, as you were alluding to, because the family in Prague is sort of held hostage there. They can't move because otherwise the government thinks that the mother will defect.
Yes, it's one of the big crimes of that time that people had terrible choices to make. For my auntie to be free and to be a dancer in this beautiful international company, she had to leave her son behind. She had to leave her, you know, whole family behind. And when she was touring, none of them were able to leave the country ever, you know, at all. It was this held hostage, basically. Children were held hostage. And grandmothers played this huge role in Eastern Europe. Most adults had to work. And so this very important job of childcare was the grandma's job. And I swear, grandmas ran Prague.
You say Ludek loved to explore the statues of saints in the city, and his aunt who goes and visits him, your grandmother, tells him a story about the statue Atlas. And this becomes a story about all of these women carrying the world.
It does. And it was the perfect story that I found. I'm so glad I found it because I didn't know it before. I do know the statue, but I didn't know.
So there is this statue in
yes.
Prague.
And it was a perfect story because really this is a book about these beautiful women, grandmas, that hold up the sky, hold up the world so that the next generation can be free. And they do it at great cost to themselves, physically and mentally. And nobody knows grandma's stories in Eastern Europe and even here. And I wanted them to be the heroines, that I wanted them to shine and for them to be seen through the eyes of these devoted grandchildren that just love them.
Grandchildren love their grandmas.
They sure do, and they love their cakes.
And there are many references to dreams in this book too. The theatre is this dream. Maybe life is a bit of a dream, and it's certainly got a feel as a very dreamy book. And is this a reference to what happened politically in the then Czechoslovakia during and after the war?
Yeah, I think that was a perfect... The Blacklight Theatre is dreamlike and nightmarish-like even as a child.
But so you saw it?
Yes, many times, and my aunt really was in it, and I loved it absolutely. It had a really big effect on me, actually. But, yes, especially in the 80s, Eastern Europe or Czechoslovakia had to go to sleep. It was known as the Kingdom of Forgetting. It was, people thought nothing would ever change. It was a really dark time. And, so there is this dream-like quality to the writing, and that's why I love the Blacklight Theatre of Prague, because I feel like it's in all the darkness. There's little flashes of fluorescent life, love. People still fell in love. Babies were still born. Kids went to school. Ordinary life was happening. People were doing their best to keep going. And that's what I wanted to write rather than a cliche of what we might think of when we think of communist Prague.
And so, and a lot of what happens takes place in the confined space of the apartments that you talked about at the beginning. So we've got the apartment in Melbourne and Prague, but this must offer you as a novelist something special too.
Yeah, it was great to just
have having that contained world.
And it really is one of those first homes. It's my, when I think of my heart home, it's this flat where my grandparents were, that was Prague, that had a tapestry of Prague, that had knickknacks of Prague, that had Czech food, and that had my grandparents in it. And when I visited my great aunt, I was so struck not only by how similar the two women were, even though they'd spent a majority of their life separated completely, everything in the flat was the same, the tapestries, the knickknack, the doily on the TV. My God, I was in my grandma's flat, but one was in Prague and one was in Melbourne.
It's amazing, amazing. Isn't it? Yeah. And you get to then recreate it in this, in your own little dream.
I do.
In this book. But, you know, it is a beautiful book, but some dark things happen. So when Malalishka
yes.
goes with her grandmother to the market in Melbourne, the grandmother's insulted. How does she deal with that?
This is something that really happened. My grandma was the strongest woman I've ever met, I've ever known in my life. Nothing could touch me when I was with my grandma. She was huge as well, as physically huge, but also spiritually huge.
Because she was a good cook.
Yes, good cook. And this really happened. And I didn't understand what the word meant, but I knew it felt like a massive spotlight had been put on my grandma so that everybody in the whole world knew that she did not belong.
So what happened to her?
She cried. It was the first time I've ever seen her just cry like that. And it really rocked me. I've never forgotten it. And that's that power of racism. It's can
it's
just pull
slur.
The carpet and from under you.
Funnily enough, my grandmother is a twin and still alive. Are any of this generation still alive, though?
No, they're all gone, and I wish that they were still here.
But your cousin can still read this book?
Yes. My cousin was the first reader, and he was very upset with me because I'd included a scene where there was chicken schnitzel and potato dumplings, and that's what he was most upset about.
Oh, okay.
Because Czech people never eat chicken schnitzel with potato dumplings, and he couldn't believe that I had forgotten that.
How
I know.
You?
But the rest of the book he loved, and he said that he'd been crying for 4 days, so even though I made it up, absolutely made that, the Czech bits up, something was right.
Well, it's a beautiful homage to your grandparents, and it makes us all think of our own. Fable Parrot, thanks for telling me about your beautiful book, There Was Still Love.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Fable Parrot is the author of There Was Still Love, and the novel is published by Hachette.